Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Believers have a realistic view both of life and its conclusion. They know that God has for them a life that never ends. We're to glorify God, whether by life or by death. Today, a comparison of how people die. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Our series is Nothing Else Matters, How the Glory of God Gives Meaning to All of Life. Now, Erwin Lutzer comes again to talk with us about God's glory in our death.
Voltaire said before he died, "I am abandoned by God, and I shall go to hell." Wow. Sir Francis Newport, who actually lived in England several centuries ago and was a playwright as well as a politician, said as he was dying, "Oh, that I was to lie for 1,000 years on the fire that is never quenched to purchase the favor of God." But it is a fruitless wish. Millions and millions of years would bring me no nearer to the end of my torments. Oh, eternity, eternity. Oh, the insufferable pangs of hell. Wow, there are only two ways to die, either in Christ or outside of Him. There is no middle path. I believe that Christians can glorify God by the way in which they accept death. I think that, secondly, they can also glorify God, especially by the way in which they sorrow. And sorrow they should, and sorrow they must. The Apostle Paul says, though, "But we sorrow not as those who have no hope." Wow. And that was the thing that Cyprian referred to. The Christians had hope. This is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, where Paul says, we don't sorrow that way. And then he says, as he talks about the coming of Christ, "So shall we ever be with the Lord." You're going to be reunited again. The Nyman family is going to be together. The Lutzer family is going to be together. And so we sorrow. Jesus wept at the tomb of Lazarus, but it's not hopeless, because we know what lies on the other side, and Jesus has the keys of death and of Hades. There's a third way, and that is, I believe that we, in our closing moments, and not everybody has the opportunity to do this, but in our closing moments, we actually have the opportunity to witness to the power of God. Luther thought that we should taunt death, because the scripture says in Hebrews chapter 2, that Jesus came to destroy him who has the power of death, that is the devil, and to deliver those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Death is fearful, but Jesus came to deliver us from it. Satan has the power of death within the limits and the providence prescribed by God, but at the end, the fear of death is taken away in Jesus. And Christians can witness to that. They can witness to the divine providence of God. Sometimes it's done on the part of the survivors. You may be not acquainted with the name Carolyn Sandbell Berg, but it was her father, while going on a ship in Sweden, the ship lurched, and he fell overboard and drowned. Her father was a Christian minister. It was she who wrote the hymn later, "Day by day and with each passing moment." And I've often pondered the words. Imagine a daughter writing this: "He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto each day what he deems best." And then I think she says, "The protection of his child and treasure is a charge which on himself he laid." And I read that and I say, "Elizabeth, I don't really get it. That wave that hit the ship was under God's control. Your father's gone, and you're talking about the protection of his child and treasure is a charge with on upon himself he laid." That's the Christian hope. That when you die, even with an accident, that God is there. And God is protecting you all the way to the heavenly gates. And that is gain. But then I think of the many people who, before they died, left us some wonderful role models. I wish I had the faith of a Bonhoeffer. You know, of course, he stood against Hitler and became part of the resistance, and then in Flossburg he was hung. But I love to read that story. It was morning, and he was asked to actually undress, and he was allowed to pray before he went to the gallows. And this is what he said. He said, "Oh God, this is the end, but for me the beginning of life." A doctor who was present to verify his death said that he had never seen anyone except death with such a sense of tranquility. "I am in God's hands, but for me it is the beginning." We can't see on the other side of the wall, just like Nate said. We're up against a wall that's too high for us to peer over, but yet read the words and the promises of Jesus, and we get a glimpse of the promised land, and we know that there on the other side, waiting for us, even as Stephen was stoned, Jesus at the right hand of God the Father is there to welcome us. Oh God, it is the end, but for me, it is the beginning of life. I love to refer to Anne Boleyn, because I've been to the Tower of London where she was beheaded, second wife of Henry VIII, who is a very interesting personality. So much could be said about him. He had six wives, and many of them died at the chopping block. Anne Boleyn became friends with Tyndale, who translated the Bible into English. She never met him, but across the continent, they connected, and she actually got a copy of the New Testament. In fact, there are some reports that she took the New Testament to the chopping block with her. And then you should read the prayer that Anne Boleyn prayed before she died. Oh, there she is at the chopping block. She said, "I commit my soul to the Lord Jesus Christ, who shed his blood on my behalf for the forgiveness of all of my sins." What a way to go. Cranmer, the Archbishop of Canterbury, said later, "She who was a queen on earth became a queen in heaven." And I believe that he was right. What a way to go. My own father, his last full sentence at the age of 105, now he died at 106, but at 105 he wasn't able to finish sentences very well. He'd begin a sentence and then he'd forget the rest of the sentence. And I'm saying, hey, I'm not that old, and that happens to me once in a while too. You know, I don't know what's going on there. A few months before he died, he's 105, he's going to become 106 and then die. Rebecca and I are there in the room, and we're just talking with Mother. And we don't even know that he's listening. He's there in the wheelchair and his eyes are closed. And suddenly opens his eyes and says a full sentence without stopping in German, but translated exactly, it is this: "We have been speaking about the present. Now it is time for us to speak about eternity and the glory of God." That's my dad's closing full sentence before he died. Let's talk about D.L. Moody. Moody struggled tremendously with the issue of death and was very fearful of it. But it is said that while he was dying, he said, "Earth recedes, heaven opens. If this be death, it is glorious." Paul on this side of the grave said, "To die is gain. Don't take people's gain away from them. Jesus is worth more than your children, your family, your environment, your work, your vocation. It is gain to die and not a loss." Hamlet, you remember in Shakespeare's play, was struggling with the whole issue of suicide. The question was whether or not he should live, to be or not to be. That is the question. Bottom line: if I go on living, I can't stand this misery. If I die, to die. What dreams may come when we have shuffled off this mortal coil. In other words, if I commit suicide, what I encounter in the life beyond could be far worse than this. So what do I do? Hamlet was saying, live or die, I lose either way. The Apostle Paul says, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. I don't know which I prefer. I actually prefer to go to heaven, but I'll stay here as long as you want. Live or die, I win. And the difference is Christ. For me to live is Christ. And to die is gain. We glorify God in our death, despite our doubts, when we go on believing and know that He is so precious, we gain Him at death. And so we accept it. It's the chariot that God sends to take us all the way to heaven. And when the chariot comes, we accept its arrival. Let us pray. Father, we ask in Jesus' name now that you will take these moments and bless them. For those who have never trusted Christ as Savior, may they do that right now. May they say, I want Christ as my Savior, so that I can say, to live is Christ and to die is gain. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. My friend, this is Pastor Lutzer, and before I say goodbye to you today, I can't help but think that there are many who are listening and you needed this message. And if you didn't need it, you know someone who does. Someone who is dying as a believer needs the encouragement of the message. Someone who is dying as an unbeliever needs the warning of this message. Because after all, death is appointed for all of us, and after death comes the judgment. My heart is heavy today for some of you who perhaps do not know Christ as your Savior. I encourage you to believe on Him and receive the free gift of eternal life. It is free to those who believe. And then connect with us. Let us know that you've come to saving faith in Christ. And by the way, if you want to listen to these messages again, if you go to our website, you can find out how these messages can be yours. And I'll give you that web address in just a moment. If you today are struggling with the whole issue of death, I'm thinking, for example, that my wife just told me the other day of a young mother who is dying, and she has 5 small children. Think of how difficult that is. I hope that if you are in circumstances like that or know of others going through such circumstances, that you will take the time to befriend them and love them. Website, offerrtw.com. Offerrtw.com.
Erwin Lutzer, wrapping up God's Glory in Our Death, the 8th message in a series on Nothing Else Matters, how the glory of God gives meaning to all of life. Next time, God's glory and our glorification. We'd like to send you the entire series on the glory of God on CD. It's our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to us at Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.